Thank you for visiting DerekDunn.org. You're about to listen to an audio devotion by Derek Dunn. Hope you be blessed.
Well, it's good to be back today, and I hope you were blessed by last week's message as we begin to talk and journey on talking about surrendering to God. And we talked about that we need to surrender to God's wisdom in our life. And that really means bringing about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and knowing that we need a Lord, that we are, that He's a Lord, and that we are His servants and we are His stewards. And as we begin to do that, it's acknowledging that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And as we enter into that through humbling ourselves, we can begin to receive the mighty hand of God into our life. We can begin to cast our cares upon Him, know that He cares for us and that He is with us in this life. And surrender can be a scary thing because it means us letting go. And it's the starting point for surrender is really trust, as we ended off last week. Trust in God that His wisdom is better than our wisdom. And sometimes we don't always understand. That's why we live and we walk by faith, the Bible tells us. But as we learn to trust God and we begin to see the hand of God in our life, our faith begins to grow, our trust in God begins to grow, and our dependency upon Him begins to grow. And we begin to see the power of God working and moving in our lives. So friends, we must surrender to God's wisdom. Today, I want to talk to you about the second point as we journey on in surrendering to God, which is number two. We need to surrender to the purpose of God, to the purpose of God. Now, we all have a plan and we all have desires and want to have a fulfilled life. We want to fulfill our purpose and know the meaning of life. And we talked to that as we looked at the three P's of purpose. But yet it's really found in learning to surrender to God and not trying to take that on our own, in our own strength and our own might, to begin to try to make it happen. Because when we do that, we can become very frustrated. When there's disappointments that are there, when things don't go our way, we feel that we're a failure, and we begin to enter into all these kind of negative emotions, and it's human nature. But yet if we know that we are in the purpose of God, surrendering to God's purpose, we know God is on our side, that God's going to make it happen. It's not us. And we can look at great men in the Bible. You look at David. I mean, David made mistakes. I mean, he probably thought many times his life was over, his kingdom was over. You can look at Joseph. I mean, he had a great purpose, and next thing you know, for many years he's in the pit and he's in serving others, and things don't go according to our plan. They don't go according to the way that we want it to go. But they were able, these men, to surrender and know that the most important thing, David cried out, he said, is, God, don't withhold or take your Holy Spirit from me. Because as God is with us, as we're surrendering to Him, we don't know how it's going to work out all the time, but we know that God will make it happen. Now the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we know as we do that, it says that all things will be added to us. And many times we focus on that, oh, just put God first and all things will be added to us. But what does it really mean to put God first? Putting God first is not a priority. It speaks of having a focus. It speaks of having a foremost purpose. That in everything we do in our life, we are focusing upon God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? We know righteousness is not perfection. Only Jesus was perfect. And no matter how great we look on the outside, we all know that we're not perfect. All right. And if you think you're perfect, it shows how perfect you're not. But anyway, it's about being in right standing with God. Righteousness doesn't mean perfection. It means being in right standing with God, which means in our heart, with our attitude, as much as possible through our lifestyle. We are living our life with a focus upon God and wanting to be in right standing with Him. What does right standing mean? It means that we know God is pleased. And that's the thing that's most important. You know, as I go through life and I'm busy and doing so many things, and sometimes we're limited. We're human. There's only so much that we can do. But as I lay my head down at night, I always sleep well, because I believe as I lay my head down at night, I ask God, God, are you happy? And as long as I sense the pleasure of God, the approval of God, I can sleep well and know that I've done what I'm supposed to do that day. And that's being in right standing with God. That's the most important thing. I might disappoint people. People might have different opinions of me. But as long as I know God is happy with me, I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do, then that is a place of security. That's a place where I know I'm in the purpose of God. It's not about the outward doing, but it's about having that being, having that relationship and that intimacy with God. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Putting Him first means that God is above everything else. It means that it goes on and it says, and live righteously, and He will then give you everything you need. And you don't have to worry, verse 34 tells us, about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So it's living our life with a focus of wanting to accomplish the will of God for that day. Wanting to live right with God for that day above all else. And it doesn't just apply to me being in the ministry. As you're working in the business setting, or you're out as an entrepreneur, or you're a student, you want to go and live right and please God and bring honor to God that day. And as you do that, God will provide everything you have need of for that day. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about tomorrow. But if you live your life living righteous, meaning desiring to walk and right standing with the Lord that day, God will provide for you that day. Living our life day by day. As we live day by day, what will happen week by week, month by month? We're living in the purpose of God. As we do that, God will reveal His purpose to us. If we get off track because of the heart that we have, God will bring the right people to us. God will bring the information to us. He'll add the knowledge, the finances, all the resources that we have need of. When we surrender to Him, He will direct our paths, friends. In Psalms 37, verse 23, David said this. He said, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." Isn't that amazing to know that as we are wanting to live and walk right with God, what will He do? He will delight in every detail of our lives. And God is so wanting us to be happy as His children. He wants us to have fulfillment. He's even concerned about the little things. It's not just about getting souls saved and fulfilling the Great Commission, even though that is important as to us as a believer. But God wants us to do well in school. He wants us to have fulfillment in our friendships. He wants our family to be blessed. He wants us to have fulfillment in the workplace. God will delight in every detail of our lives as our heart is right towards Him. It goes on in Psalms 37, verse 24 says this, "Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Friends, as we walk right before God and we're surrendering to the purpose of God, as we're wanting to have that focus where God is the center of our life, even though we stumble, and we will stumble, even though we fall, and we will make mistakes, we all make mistakes, God is there. He's our safety net. He will hold us by the hand, and He will cause us to have success. And He will even cause the bad things to work together for our good. And that's a place of security. That's a place where even in the midst of negative things, we can laugh to ourselves. The Bible says, "Count it all joy when you fall into trials and temptations." How can you count it joyful? I mean, sometimes we think that's not a normal person. If you're like praising God and negative things are happening, people will think you're a bit mental. You know, maybe you need to see a psychiatrist. But why are you able to do that? Because you're not living your life based on what's going around you. Your security is not in those things. But because you surrender to the purpose of God, you count it joy. No, well, praise God. God's going to turn this thing into testimony, and He's going to get all the praise and all the glory. David went on and he said this in Psalm 37, verse 25. "Once I was young and now I'm old." He says, "Yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread." Friend, as we're walking godly with God, in the purpose of God, we will never be begging for bread. He will never forsake us. We'll never be abandoned. But God will always be on our side, holding our hands. And there's a great poem, and many of us have probably heard it, about footprints and how the guy was walking through the sand and there were two footprints. And later, there was only one. And he said, "God, why did you leave me?" And God said, "I never left you. There was one set of footprints because during that time of difficulty, I was carrying you, and you were depending upon me." And that, friends, is what surrender is all about. The view of God is that when we surrender to His purpose, when we align ourselves as Christ, as the Lord of our life, we will discover our identity. Being in the place of surrender, surrendering to purpose, brings us into a place of identity. We must understand that identity and purpose are locked together. As we begin to surrender the purpose of God, what will happen? We will know our identity. And as we come into our identity, the sense of purpose gets even stronger in our lives. Only when we begin to surrender to God, when we begin to want to put God in the center of our life, we begin to really have a revelation of who we are and who God has called us to be. A person who has an identity crisis is really a person who's having a purpose crisis. And a person who's having a purpose crisis is really someone who is doubting their identity. They're having an identity crisis. They go hand in hand together. We look at Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 17. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, the prophet concerning the Messiah. And what did He do? He opened up that book in front of all the religious people. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he quoted Isaiah. He said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It says he closed the book and he told the people when they sat down, and all eyes were fixed upon him. Can you imagine the pressure? But in confidence, he said this, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. Because he was given to the purpose of God, even as a little boy, he was hanging out at the temple. He was reasoning together with the scribes and Pharisees. He began to have a revelation of who the Father was to him, that he was the Messiah. And I imagine as he was reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit would quicken him and say, that is you, that is you, that will be fulfilled through your life. And he came to a place, as he surrendered the purpose of God, he came into his identity and he stood up and he said, this is my identity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am the anointed one. And we know Christ means the anointed one. What was he saying as he read that scripture? He was saying, I am the Christ. Jesus knew who he was. And he knew his purpose. He was confident in what he was called to do. And he was surrendered to that purpose. Friends, as we surrender, it's not a place of weakness. It's a place of meekness, as we learn. It's producing confidence in our lives. We look at the Apostle Paul. Paul, who said he was the least of among the apostles. He was someone who had murdered Christians. I mean, you look at him. He had an encounter with God. He was someone who was doing the wrong thing. You talk about being on the wrong ball. He was on the wrong ball. But what happened? He came into place as he surrendered to the purpose of God. He knew his identity. And in Galatians and many of the books, the epistles, he said this, Paul, I'm an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. As he began to stand in his apostolic authority, he knew his purpose, he knew his identity, and therefore he was able to speak from a place of authority as he surrendered to God in his purpose. Friends, what's the purpose that you believe God has given you to you? God made you an original. There's a great quote. It said, you are an original. God made you an original. Don't die a copy. Don't just try to do what everyone else is doing. Don't just have a herd mentality and be going along with everyone else. We all have a distinct purpose that God has given to us. He's destined us for a great purpose. But this purpose is found in surrender. Are you willing to put the pursuit of God above everything else? Are you willing to focus as you go to your studies? It's not a waste of time, but you know it's preparation for you and bringing glory to God as you're doing well, that God can promote you to other things. As you're in that workplace, maybe you're called to the marketplace. It's not just a job that you go to every day, but you're called to impact that business, to impact that sphere of society. If you're in the ministry, it's not just about just doing appointments and doing good, but you have a purpose. You have a distinctive that God has given to you. And friends, as you surrender to that purpose, as you surrender, God will give you an identity. He will give you an authority like Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and God will anoint you to be a blessing and to bear forth fruit. So friends, come before God and know that what you're doing now is not a waste of time. Every day, come before God and surrender and say, God, I'm surrendering to your purpose. Today, whatever, God, you want me to do in the place that you send me, as I go to work or whatever it is that you're doing today, God, I want to surrender to your purpose. I want you to be glorified. As you begin to do that, friends, you're on your way to seeing that an understanding of the identity. As we're faithful in the little things day by day, God will enlarge our tent and cause us to be faithful over much. So I pray that you're blessed today. Surrender can be a scary thing, as we mentioned, but it also has a great reward to it. Because as you surrender to God, you're on your way to purpose. You're on your way to a greater understanding of the identity of who Christ has made you. So I pray that you're blessed. Walk in purpose. Walk in surrender this week. And next week we'll be back to share with you more as we journey on in surrendering to God.
We hope you've been blessed by the audio devotion. For more information, visit derrickdunn.org and follow him on Twitter as well as Facebook.